So assuming this letter is from John, which was written in Ephesus, a place where other worship and sorcery was taking place, is one to be taken seriously. And I think it's both hard and challenging, but also there is some comfort. So I'm going to look at the passage in two parts. But remember, the headings and the chapterization, if that's even a word, is not how he wrote it. It's been split up for our reading and understanding. So here we go. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Now, Louise covered a lot about our sins last week. So please, if you missed it, try and listen to it online. But I would still like to say of sin, it's important to continually tackle that sin that pervades our lives. Louise spoke about us excusing ourselves, making it's just our character. Like, apparently Louise is no good for talking to before her third cup of coffee. But she says that's just her character. I'm just no good to be spoken to before 11 o'clock in the morning, simple as. But basically, to address our sin is important, even the little things. But it's not about beating ourselves up, because John has just told us that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And we don't beat ourselves up because we're not good enough. Because the truth is, none of us are, neither will we ever be. It's about acknowledging it, receiving our forgiveness through repentance, and asking him to change us. Our daily offering to Jesus should be our repentance. We're called to obey his commands and live like him. That's not hard at all, is it? The two most important commandments that was identified with Jesus and come from the Old Testament are seen in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, which is here. And Jesus said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, we're told here by John that if we don't do as he, Jesus, commands, we do not know him. And Jesus also said in John 14, verses 15 to 17. And it's about when he, part of his promise of the Holy Spirit, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. This is important. It's saying we have to take action before we can get the one thing we really need to keep walking in the light, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's the way we really need to get to know Jesus and are known by him, keeping in line with his commandments and living in accordance with his will is important. It's so important, especially as the words in 1 John 2, 5 and 6 says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We cannot profess to love God and live like the world lives. This is why we need a constant and living relationship with Jesus, by reading his word, by seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But remember, it's a journey. We don't start in a place of perfection. We'll only end in a place of perfection when we meet him face to face. But it's one which starts from the profession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, a welcoming of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And this balance of both truth and spirit is so important. And I believe it's what we go on to read more about in this letter, and indeed was part of Jesus' own teaching. One key issue raised by John at this point in 1 John 2:9-11 is when he says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or a sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. This simply tells us we cannot have hatred between Christian brothers and sisters. Hatred might also be interpreted as anger, resentment, whatever it is that stops you from reconciling. So we are to reconcile. Or this is saying, we're not his, not truly his. We're not living as he commands. And we see in Matthew 5, verses 23 to 26, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle the matter quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. We're called to be reconciled to one another, suggesting forgiveness within the church is essential before we can be known. And this is often something we should think about before we take communion, to make sure our hearts are right. And also this brings to mind the words of John 13:35, when Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And we love through communicating in love and reconciling through forgiveness. So now let's take the rest of the chapter of 1 John 2. Starting at verse 12, takes us through to 29. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers and mothers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men and women, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers and mothers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men and women, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As you see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does not, you will. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, he may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. So we are called to know Christ. And the word Christ, or Christos, means anointed one. And this is shown in, if I just mention, in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news." And in Acts 4:26, he's called the Lord's anointed. And in Acts 10:38, it says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." Christ is the original anointed one. He is the Holy One that's mentioned in here. And this is supported, for those of you who like evidence from the Bible, by many places, but I've just picked a few. It's where Peter declares in John 6:69, at the point where many turn away because Jesus' teaching was too hard, when Peter says, "We have become to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And in both Mark and Luke, it's recorded of the demon crying out from the demonized man in the temple, "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." So in this part of the passage where the Antichrists are mentioned in verse 22, they are anti the Anointed One. Verse 22 says, "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is Christ, the Anointed One? This is the Antichrist, or the anti-anointed, who denies the Father and the Son." I think this is why John's using the anointing language. Because in verse 20, for all Christians, it says, "But you have the anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." In other words, you're not anti-Christos. You're Christoi, which is the plural of Christos. You're anointed ones, anointed by the Holy One of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, "If they are against him, they are against you. Indeed, they went out from you." That's a bit troubling because it says goes out from us. So we already knew them and they went out. So he's saying that the church, the believers at that time, actually contained believers who weren't really believers, people who fell away, lost their faith, chose to live like the world lives. And it's a hard truth to think that they no longer belong to Jesus, but this passage is suggesting that. But something came to me while we were worshipping, and I thought about Peter, and Peter was the one who said, "You are the Messiah," but then denied him three times publicly. And Jesus gave him another chance. So I think we need to remember that our God, Jesus, is the God of second, third, and fourth chances. But that there is a hard, like I say, there's a hard truth there, but it did just come to me that actually, you know, Peter recognized Jesus as the Messiah, denied him, and was forgiven. And we need to remember that Jesus is our advocate and he does forgive once we know we need forgiveness. So how do you feel knowing you're anointed ones? Jesus poured out his anointing from the Father to you. Jesus received his anointing from the Father when he was baptized by John the Baptist, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. So what are we to take from all of this? I mean, Jesus, we're told at the beginning of John's Gospel that Jesus is the Word and the Word became flesh. He walked amongst us. He said that Jesus came from the Father and he's full of grace and truth. And now you have the very anointing of Jesus. Just like in John 20, when Jesus appeared after his resurrection, and in the locked room, and he said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So when we recognize Jesus as Christ and accept that, then the Holy Spirit becomes our free gift. And we're told in this passage from 1 John 2, that this opens our eyes to the truth. And I know personally that when I became a Christian, I didn't say a saving prayer. I was literally just sat with the Bible. And somewhere between Matthew 4 and 6, it was like, I'm getting old now, and my eyes aren't brilliant, I can't read a normal Bible with these glasses on that I need to see you with. So I have to put these reading glasses on. But it was like at some point between chapter 4 and 6, somebody put my reading glasses on and it all became clear and meant more and spoke to me and spoke to my heart. So I literally became a Christian. I accepted Christ into my life by just reading the Bible, the living word of God. And at some point in that, I believe I received the Holy Spirit, because all of a sudden the word became truth and illuminated, and I knew it was for me, and I knew that Jesus was speaking to me and for me. So we have this anointing, and it says in the letter of 1 John 2 what it means for us. So it says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Having accepted who Jesus Christ is and receiving what he gives to us when we make him Lord and Savior opens our eyes to the truth. We can no longer walk easily in the ways that we walked before, because we know it's wrong. And we know when things are right. And we need to trust that, because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. In the next few passages, it says in verse 24, as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. So Jesus taught, when he spoke about, I am the vine and you are the branches, my Father is the vine dresser. This is another place where he speaks very much of remaining in him, remaining in his love, and how important that is. And so we are called to abide, to stick with it, even through the tough times. And it goes on to say, and this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. This is about this beautiful relationship that the Trinity has. The Father gave the Son, the Son gave us his anointing, gave us the Holy Spirit. But it's important that we remain in him. He has to be the Lord of our lives. There's no room for the world and Jesus. His anointing, the Holy Spirit, leads us into all truth. Spirit leads us to truth. The word that became flesh, Jesus, is the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. Jesus came to set us free. But we so desperately need to strike a balance between spirit and truth. We need to read the word and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the word and speak the truths into our lives. We need to worship in spirit and truth. We need to walk in spirit and truth. We need to talk in spirit and truth. We can't be lukewarm Christians and abide at the same time. We go to the end. John finishes with God's children and sin. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. I want to stress that when we become Christians, it's the start of a journey, and we are not asked to reach perfection in this life, but we are asked to strive, to listen to God, to obey him, that we have the Holy Spirit in us to listen to. That means that when we have to also weigh up when man or woman is speaking, because all too often we as Christians can be judgmental. We as Christians can pick up the Bible and think that the black and white in it is what we can use to help straighten others out. But what this is telling us is we need the anointing for ourselves. We get that anointing when we become Christians. And we work with that combination of spirit and truth. We get the truth from the Word of God. And we need to learn to keep the Holy Spirit very fresh by seeking him, repenting of our sins, asking for help, but recognizing that we have a God of many chances. He just wants us to work with him. John is very much speaking of being ready for the second coming of Christ. He's telling us to be like the wise virgins in the parable of the 10 virgins told by Jesus. He's telling us to be ready to have the word, which is the lamp for our feet, along with plenty of oil, meaning our anointing from Jesus in the Holy Spirit. John was old when he wrote this, but he had an urgency for the last day was evident, and it's even more evident today, not because of things that are happening in the world, but because we're a lot closer to the last day than he was. As Christians, we need to be ready. We need to have both spirit and truth in balance. We need to abide in him and not the world. And those who fall away are not his, and so we are to seek out those who are his and build his church and be ready and know him, so that he knows us when he comes again. As I finished this, putting the slides together, I felt just the simple word, be active, that was important for us. And so I think we need to be active against sin. We don't ignore it. We repent, accept the forgiveness that is there for us. We actively forgive others, particularly other believers, no matter how hard. And we actively treat his anointing that we have as the most precious thing. Because it is. Having the Holy Spirit in our lives and cooperating with him, listening to him, following his guidance, leads us into all truth. Come out of the world, church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.